You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Sitting here in the studio, got a cup of Just Love coffee in my hands, and literally about to go into what I think is going to be a really cool show. And of course, Miss Copper is running the board. Good day to you, Miss Copper.
Good day. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Same.
What's that?
Same.
Same. Well, good. I'm glad. We got a lot on the plate today. So, going to have a caller calling in later in the day. Mr. Ray Melick, who used to be one of the chief editors at the Birmingham Post, I believe it was, Birmingham News. And then he went on to work for Congressman Gary Palmer in D.C. He is back now, going to be the chief editor for the new 1819 News. We're going to talk to him about a free and fair press and why it's so important, coming up at 3 o'clock on that. But I got my triple dipper, so Copper, get my sound effect ready. Because, folks, there are three storylines that we're going to weave together today, and you have got to know these because they are going to impact your life. Hit it, Copper.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
Yeah, so here's the deal. Number one is this. Cancel culture is being canceled. I've got some cool stories you're going to hear about in a minute. People speaking up and doing things, and all of a sudden, the cancel culture is going, wait a minute, you're not allowed to speak back to us. You can't talk like that. Yes, we can. Cancel culture being canceled. I got a whole rack of stories right here, handful of paper in my hands that I'll go into on that. Number two on the triple dipper for the day is this. We have got to have a free and fair media. And there is an amazing amount of media bias out there. And I think when you hear some of the stories that are being suppressed and having to be picked up by alternative sites that are real legit stories, you'll be amazed at what's not being reported and how important it is that we have a free and a fair press. And then lastly, third thing on it, state action regarding vaccine mandates. Man, some new stuff has happened. Did you hear what Texas did? You're going to want to hear about that because Texas just basically said to President Biden, I'll be your huckleberry. And that's good news. By the way, Copper, do you know where that comes from when I say I'll be your huckleberry? Do you know where that comes from?
I'm afraid not.
Oh, see. Oh, it's hurting me. All right, so now here's another movie. Now you have to watch, Copper. It's Tombstone.
Okay.
Tombstone with Val Kilmer playing the character of Doc Holliday.
Gunfight
at the OK Corral, all of it. Man, awesome. Awesome movie. More one-liners out of that movie, most of which were Val Kilmer's. I'll be you, Huckleberry. All right, but listen, I mean, so the end result of all of this, though, that I'm talking about, I'm going to hit the cancel culture piece first. The cancel culture, in some ways, is being canceled. It's amazing to me that you're just not allowed to speak. You can't say that. We will not allow that to happen. And I'm going to play a clip for you later that's pretty funny. Comedian Dave Chappelle and what he's even dealing with in cancel culture right now. But this morning, I was reading a devotion pretty early. And I try not to blend my show prep mindset, you know, with my quiet time. But this one hit me right between the eyes. And as I was reading it, I thought, well, okay, apparently cancel culture's been around since biblical times. The devotion followed several passages from the Bible, including Jeremiah chapter 20. And here's the deal. In that particular passage, in the devotion keyed on it, there was a guy named Pashur. He was the high priest in charge of the temple, the Jewish temple. And he was despising the fact that the prophet Jeremiah was daring to speak out against the detestable practice of sacrificing children to the pagan god of Baal in a place called the Valley of Tophath. I mean, it was so horrible, apparently, that the Baal priests would actually beat drums really loud to drown out the screams of babies being burned alive. That's how bad it was. But keep in mind, Pashur, the priest, he was not a pagan priest. He was not a Baal guy. He was the Jewish priest. But he didn't want Jeremiah to make waves. He wanted them to shut up. Go away. Don't talk like that. Well, I'll tell you what. Humankind can stoop to some terrible deeds when there is no voice of reason. And in that particular passage that I was talking about, Jeremiah saw this dreadful scene of infant sacrifice, and he prophesied the destruction of Judah and Jerusalem. And when Pashur threatened him, keep in mind, prophet of God, Jewish priest now threatening the prophet of God for speaking against what was wrong, right? When Pashur threatened him, Jeremiah said, I can't stop. If I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his words will burn in my heart like a fire. That's the passage of scripture that was the whole aspect of this particular devotion. The lesson here, the reason why I'm bringing it up, is because we're seeing it play out in today's world. It was an attempt at cancel culture. It was even supposedly one of his own allies saying, don't call that thing out, man. They'll come after us. Don't do it. Just stop. But even the folks you would sometimes think would be on your side, they're going to do that. Shut up. Don't make waves. They'll come after us. It's not hurting you. Why do you care? Well, we have to care. We have to speak. There's no peace if we don't. And truthfully, the cost of doing nothing may be even worse. Sometimes doing nothing is far more costly, far more dangerous. An example, let's say you're the leader of an organization and you see a problem in the organization, but you don't want to deal with it. You know, it rocks on and then it gets worse. And by the time you choose to deal with it, the situation has morphed into so much more. It involves more people. Now you're in a real pickle if you'd only dealt with it early. See, here's the deal. I'm a firm believer through lessons learned in my own life that 5 minutes of awkward, uncomfortable words can save you hours of pain later on. One of the ways I learned this the hard way, I've told you before, I had 2 deployments in the Global War on Terror. 2 different teams, all right? And both times I had guys assigned to my team that I had never worked with before. In Afghanistan, they put a guy on my team. I thought, how great to have him. His paperwork looked perfect. He was qualified as a medic. I didn't mind the idea of having somebody as a medic when I was out there in a remote team. He was immediately, when we got downrange, subordinate and would not, you know, respond well to anything. Didn't want to go to the hard places. Was scared to death. Wanted to hide inside all the time. I tried to deal with it. I let it go on too long, in my opinion, and I finally did deal with it. But by then, it took a long time for my team morale to come back up. In Iraq, though, just a year or so later, very similar situation. Had a guy put on my team I'd never worked with before. Looks like a shiny object. I mean, he's got all the qualifications. Well, he got worse, and it became a big issue. And it was dangerous. We're in the middle of central Baghdad during the Shia uprising. I fired him post-haste. I didn't wait. And later on, I found out that my team was more than relieved. And I also found out that both those guys had been shoveled off by other team members, or teams, I'm sorry, in the past, had been fired from other teams, but no one wanted to report it, not deal with it. Don't say anything. Just let it go. Well, because they let it go, I got to deal with it. I'm just telling you, folks, speaking up at the right time is important. Letting it fester and get worse, it does no good, because bad news does not get better with time. Well, the same is true in cancel culture today. The left wants you to shut up, just sit down, quit talking, don't make waves. There's an agenda. You have no say in it, but you do. You do have a say in it. Oh, they'll cancel me. They'll follow me into a bathroom. They'll try to hurt my business. Well, how about this? What's the cost of doing nothing? What if all of society took the stance that it had to be truly personal before they would get involved? No first responders, not their fire. No soldiers to fight, well, it's not their war. No medical personnel, well, it's not their family member getting sick. No charities doing good work, well, it's not their family going hungry. Now, don't get me wrong, not every fight is your fight, all right? I get that. But some of them are. So pick the one that moves you. Just pick the one that you feel strongly about or well-suited for or have some experience with, and then choose to be a voice. And it can be a royal pain. I'm telling you firsthand, it can. But it can also be a game changer. And it can be an inspiration to you and to others. I'll never forget my friend, Jim Martin. He was 99 years old when he passed away. He was a former U.S. congressman and a World War II veteran. There's actually a PBS documentary about his life called Forever Wild, and it's really worth watching. And his personal story from World War II was significant. I got a call one day, sitting in my office at the law firm. Somebody identified themselves as being from the Library of Congress, said that they were working on doing these oral histories of World War II veterans. They'd heard I know Jim Martin. Would I be willing to sit with him and help moderate getting his oral history? Yes. For over 2.5 hours, I sat there with Jim and a court reporter and listened to him recount his stories like it was yesterday. And you know, he was the first U.S. officer to find and open the gates of a Nazi concentration camp. And he told it with graphic detail. The bodies that were piled up, the emaciated figures who were still barely breathing. At one point, he walked into a room where it felt like bodies were just warehoused, he said. And he just took his helmet off and yelled, "We're Americans!" And they all kind of had a very low-level cheer. And he led Eisenhower in the next day to see it. and they led the locals to the site and made them help those people and clean up. Those locals had lived right down the road. They had smelled the smoke from the crematoriums. They had seen the slave labor, and they had said nothing, not one word. Apparently, it was not their cause. It was not theirs to question. Well, I'm glad that we as a nation didn't take that position. Can you imagine if we had not gone to Germany and liberated those people? Liberty is only preserved when good people cultivate it. You got to weed out that cancel culture right there in the Liberty Garden, if you know what I mean. It takes work, and they won't want you to, and they won't like it. And some of your own so-called allies are going to be against you doing it. But we got to do it, because the cost of doing nothing is everything. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, man, oh, man. I'm telling you, folks, I got articles right here. I got one right here. It's the title of it from Newsweek is Working Class Americans Are Standing Up For Themselves and the Left Is Denouncing Them. It's an opinion piece from Newsweek. I'm going to play some clips, too, of people actually speaking up. And also the pushback against cancel culture. And how do we teach our kids? All that and more coming up on Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.